In your Bible, over to Genesis chapter 2. We'll look at Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3, and eventually we'll get back here to 1 Peter. In the lesson, we're going to cover three main passages. We're going to look over here in the early part of Genesis and 1 Peter chapter 3, and then we're going to spend some time in Matthew chapter 18. But before we begin the lesson, I'd like to tell everybody, we are glad that you're here. I've never had the experience before where we shook hands and got to see everybody who was visiting with us, but I enjoyed that this morning. My mother-in-law is here, and I got to meet her, shake her hand. I was telling somebody today, they said, your mother-in-law is here, and I said, I know, I got to stay awake in a sermon because of that. But we're glad you're here. We're glad all of our other visitors are here as well. You're our honored guest, and we're just proud to have you. We hope you come back tonight at 6 o'clock as well. We're going to talk about church unity and what the Bible says about us being unified as a church and as a congregation. But this morning, as you can see on the board, we're talking about modesty, which is actually, for me, one of the most difficult subjects to study in the Bible. And the reason for that is a lot of times we make rules that aren't necessarily in the Bible, but we kind of practice them at church. I grew up in a church where you always had to wear a coat and a tie. And any time I'd ask my parents, where in the Bible is that coat and tie, I'd get whacked. So I quit asking. I'm not sure that's exactly in the Bible. I remember my sister always having trouble because she had grown up learning you always have to wear a dress on Sunday morning, but you don't have to wear a dress on Sunday night. And there was always that debate exactly how that went. I've traveled to many different countries, and we can see in many different countries different levels of modesty. You know, over in Saudi Arabia, if a lady shows her ankles, that's considered to be highly, highly immodest in that culture. But in other cultures, a lady could wear a lot less and not stand out and not be showing any form of immodesty. And so as you and I run through the Bible, it's difficult for us to come through and say, well, this is law, this is not law. This is what the Bible says, but this is not what the Bible says. And in those cases, it's important for us, if we are to be the people of God, if that no man, as we see here in Romans 14, is an island. No man lives unto himself. No man dies to himself. Recognize that what you wear and how you act will have an influence on other people. It will have an influence upon the way in which people see you. Go ahead and turn in a few chapters earlier, Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. And as we see this passage, we see where Paul is talking about the struggle of Christians with sin and the struggle which we have in trying to live a holy, godly, and right life. In Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 13, Paul says, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Live your life in a way in which it encourages other people to get closer to God. Don't accentuate parts of your body that can lead people to sin, that can be a stumbling block and cause other people to fall. But instead, be a person who encourages other people to recognize how good it is to be a Christian, which allows you to be the salt of the earth, which allows you to be the light of the world, which allows you to bring other people closer to God. I mention it at the end of almost every lesson, and I've only been here 3 months, so I don't think you're tired of it yet. I hope. But there is going to be nothing greater on that last day than to see each and every one of us in heaven. And the goal that we have is to make sure every one of us get there, and also every person outside of this building gets there as well. How do we do it? We do it by teaching other people the gospel. We do it by the way in which we live and the decisions which we make each and every day. But much of what we do is seen by those small decisions that we make. The clothes that you buy when you're in the mall. The way in which you wear your clothes, the situations that you find yourself in, and how much you're willing to compromise with the world. Now, there's not any lesson that I ever preach which is directed to just one person. And I really, to be honest, haven't seen anybody in the church which dresses immodestly, which I'm really wanting to get after. But it's the beginning of the school year. And it's the beginning of time when a lot of us are together more often than we're not, than we're apart. And so be sure that the decisions you make, not only in the clothes that you wear, but also the words that you use and the places in which you go, are decisions which bring you closer to God rather than further away. Let's make sure that our members, our bodies, are instruments of righteousness rather than instruments which bring people away. At the end of every lesson, we have an invitation. And it's an opportunity for each and every one of us to examine ourselves, look at our heart, and be sure that we're right with God. Jesus died for every single one of us, John 3:16. And the grace of God has appeared unto all men, Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. And God does not want a single person on this earth to be lost, 2 Peter chapter 3. Therefore, he has given us a way, a plan of salvation. And as we read in our Bibles, we simply and plainly can see what it is God wants us to do. God wants us to be familiar with his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. As we become familiar with God's word, we'll learn to trust him, or as we say in church, have faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. As we grow in trust and faith in Christ, we'll begin to change our life. We'll recognize that we no longer live to ourselves, but we need to live towards God. Truly, these times of ignorance, Paul would say on Mars Hill, Acts 17, truly these times of ignorance, God's overlooked. But now God calls all men everywhere to repent. 2 decades later, Paul would write in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, not to be conformed to the world, but be changed, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You must confess the name of Christ before other people, Matthew 10, 31 and 32. And then you are added to the church when you're baptized. You're saved when you obey Christ through immersion. We see that in Acts 2, 38, and Acts 22, 16, and 1 Peter 3, 21. Don't leave this building not rest. And not ready to see, because we don't know what tomorrow holds. Every lesson, we have an invitation to have the prayers of the church. This morning, we stand, and while we sing.